So I wanted to talk Washington with you for a minute. I know we've been kind of enamored with their quarterback depth chart debacle.
Yeah, in reading the Football Outsiders preview, which I like to do every week, although it becomes less and less relevant as the season goes on because their preview is written, I think, before training camp even.
Yeah.
Everything in there is about Haskins and just about his performance and his DVOA. Are you familiar with DVOA?
Very.
And I figure it's like any of the stats that I'm just kind of familiar with. If they're relying heavily on it, okay. I'll bet you Football Outsiders has a pretty good formula for what this means. So without me having to know what QBR is, I do realize if you're going to list things via QBR, it's probably going to weigh out the same when you look at DVOA and
Yeah.
the other stats, right?
And it often matches up with what you think from the eye test. Not
Right.
always, but often.
So they were just kind of listing Haskins as far as it's a big deal to know what you have in Haskins because last year his DVOA was terrible. In the age now that we're in, where rookie quarterbacks will get lots of playing time, his was the fifth worst of all time. Well, since
Since they,
2008.
right, yeah.
And the worst, would you be surprised to know? Or do you know? The worst rookie passing DVOA since 2008. I've already said it's surprising. So
Is
that
it like
gives you a little
Andrew
hint.
Luck or something crazy? Did he have a.
Jared Goff,
Okay.
the worst. Most of the names on this
That
list,
got Jeff Fisher fired, by the way.
most of the names on this list you would expect. Jared Goff is the worst, followed by Josh Rosen, Jimmy Clausen, Blaine Gabbert, Dwayne Haskins, Blake Bortles, the anomaly, Matt Stafford, Josh Allen, I guess also an anomaly, right?
Yeah.
As he's
He's gotten a
certainly
lot
come
better
on.
too, though. Yeah, sure.
DeShone Kizer and Christian Ponder. So the thought there was, if you're this bad, you're probably going to not get good, but there are a couple of standout anomalies. Stafford, of course, and Goff is a huge one as he makes the Super Bowl 2 years after that, and Josh Allen, pretty much 2 years after his pretty bad rookie showing, has turned things around. So if you were a Haskins believer before, there is hope. But I don't know if you've seen anything, and apparently the Washington coaching staff has not seen anything to suggest this will change. So much so that in a year with Trevor Lawrence hanging out there, it might behoove them to lose lots of games.
It's just such a weird situation because no, I was not a big fan of his coming out of college.
Haskins?
Not at all. But still, even if you're not a fan of a guy, if you go ahead and spend a first-round pick on him and you take a guy 15th overall, I don't think I can see him play, nine, seven, eight, nine games his rookie year and then four games the next year and just decide that we're done with this.
I would
I
think
think
you'd
you need
want to
to
give him every game this year.
every single game. And if he's really bad, you'll still be in a
You get
position
Trevor
to draft
Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence. And if he's pretty good, then you figure out maybe we have something to build on here. And then it's not like the other guy they have is Ryan Fitzpatrick, who might be able to scratch and claw and get you to 7 or 8 wins and possibly get you a playoff spot. The other guys you have, one of them can't walk, and the other one probably shouldn't be anywhere near a starting spot, maybe a backup in the NFL in Kyle Allen. So.
But he did well for
Right, he's
him last year,
driven the
right?
bus for Rivera before. So,
How much of this do you think is it's a new staff and Haskins is just not their guy? Because they did not draft him.
no, you know who their offensive coordinator is, Dan?
Who?
Scott Turner, son of Norv.
Oh, okay.
Who I believe grew up here in the Metroplex whenever Norv was here.
Okay. And
So,
Norv was.
with the Cowboys, yeah.
No, Norv was.
With Rivera.
With Rivera last
Yeah.
year,
So no, there's
or the
definitely
last couple of
no
years.
like massive benefit in the NFL of having your dad having worked in the
No.
league before you. You just got to scratch and claw for
No, you could
everything.
do it too. You just gotta have stick-to-itiveness.
One thing that was surprising to me though is I haven't really watched them closely because they're disgusting. their defense is not bad. In fact, it's pretty good. Like, surprisingly good. You know who their defensive coordinator is? Del Rio.
And does it all start with that, with Chase Young, basically?
It does, but they've got dudes on the back end, too. I mean, they're getting to the quarterback. They're covering pretty well. So I was surprised to see that just about every single statistic you look at, they get interceptions and they get pressure. Now, you're going to have Montez Sweat and Chase Young up against Terrence Knight and, I guess, Cam Irving.
But even on the inside, they have two first-round defensive – yeah, and Jonathan Allen.
Yeah, they're solid up front. Now, this might be the – we kind of all feel like, boy, this Cowboys offensive line, how much more can they take? Like, they just continue to – the dam, it feels like it's about to break, but it hasn't really yet. I don't think that's why they've necessarily lost games to this point, that they've just been getting hammered in the pocket. It seems like that should be a much bigger problem to me than it has been. It hasn't been great.
Even not getting hammered, though, just making things have to happen quicker has a great effect.
It does. You'd like to think that could somewhat be...
Receivers can't get into their routes. You have these awesome wide receivers, but what good is it if your quarterback is having to make his decisions a lot quicker? And that's what it seems like has happened.
Definitely, and I think when you were out last week was talking about how, man, Andy Dalton's quick game stats over the last couple of years are actually not that bad. He's bad when he drops back 5-7 steps, but he's not that bad whenever he just catches and throws. Well, he was terrible when doing that Monday night. So it seems like they're probably going to have a really hard time protecting him, so it might have been really dumb to triple play them, but... You know, you have to
figure... But it's not like Washington's great.
No, and if you want to flip to the other side of the ball, I mean, they're just atrocious on offense. And I don't know how they attack Dallas because they're a terrible passing team, probably the worst in the league. They're not a very good running team.
Well, you're facing the worst defense in the NFL, right?
Yeah, and particularly through the... Well, I don't know that they're any worse through the air than they are on the ground. They're terrible at both. So I think that's what you're going to see teams do every week.
Well, I just looked at a video clip. I think Machado put it out of that last touchdown, the long touchdown run. Just take a look at that and Jalen just getting pushed aside.
9 in the box being blocked by 7.
Yeah.
And Jalen just pushed aside.
It reminded me of that long Ravens touchdown from like 10 years ago at the end of the game where, you know, and I don't think that game was over. You needed to get off the field, but it just...
Jalen doesn't...
It's
his
terrible.
Contract hasn't started yet, has it?
No, I don't think so.
His extension.
So I think what you're going to see teams do is come in here, and if they're the 25th best rushing team and the 30th best passing team, they'll just say, well, we can probably just run all over Dallas. And if it's flipped, they'll say, we can throw all over this team. Whatever you do kind of okay, you can probably do it at an elite level against Dallas's defense.
You know, we talked about... I'm changing it back to the offense for a second, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about if you had to lose just with the thought of announcers saying, Zeke is your best player. Even when Dak was on the team, Zeke is your best player. Detailed that yesterday, and you had some good numbers to prove that's very silly to say. And would you rather lose one of your top wide receivers, Dak or Zeke? You said Zeke, for sure.
No question.
If you had to lose... your three best receivers, or every offensive lineman, which one would you have chosen?
So in this scenario, I get them all. I get Lyell.
You have lost your whole offensive line this year.
Yeah, it's just Connor.
Your whole...
Last
okay, I guess Connor is still there, but he's moved. He's moving, right? Did he move to the other side or no?
No,
is he still locked in where...
Not yet, I don't think.
Is he the stability? But he was last year's weakest link.
Yeah.
So,
man, that's a good one.
Like,
I guess
if Amari, CD, and Gallup went down, but you had your whole offensive line, would you feel better about things than you do now?
Well, let me ask you this: does it change your opinion of your answer at all if you're talking about Dak or Dalton?
You still don't have Dak.
Oh, so this is in a Dalton world? Man, that's a really good question. I think I'd probably prefer
Because they almost say about every quarterback, if you give them time, they can do something. They are an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, so I have Lyell. I have Zach Martin. I've got Tyron.
Full health.
Everybody.
Full
Looney,
strength.
The backups, everybody. I'd take that. And now I just ride Cedric Wilson and Dalton Schultz and whoever else is on the roster. Noah Brown. I think you'd probably have to. That would be boring as hell. Now that's where
it's easier to find backup receivers than backup offensive linemen.
Yeah, now you're not going to find a game breaker, but I think I'd probably take that. And in that scenario, you might convince me that I need to just hammer Zeke.
Because you could say they've lost the most important things that they could, their quarterback and their offensive line. What good are these great wide receivers without the quarterback and the great offensive line?
You know, and it's not talked about as much, but if you looked at their defense coming into the year, you might have said, all right, I can squint and see a defensive line. Now, maybe it's a little harder once you lose McCoy, but you're thinking, all right, I've still got a
You would have to say they've underperformed massively, right?
Yes, but what I was going to say is just that I could see they've definitely underperformed. They've been held together by Aldon Smith. But I could have squinted and said, all right, I've got Aldon Smith, Crawford, Poe, Lawrence, Woods, Neville Gallimore, who we just drafted, Griffin. I've got Van Der Esch and I've got Jalen. But I look at this back end and I'm like, I'm effed. And then they lose Cheeto. And they lost Jordan Lewis for a few weeks. So you would have said that's the worst part of their defense, and they still got decimated there.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where they're now playing guys that most people didn't really know were on the team or ever expect to play. And then those guys are getting benched for other guys that you're surprised that they're on the field. And all of a sudden, someone named Justin Hamilton on the defensive line is like your best defensive lineman last week. So it's an absolute mess. But there's just I still in my mind think that if you can get two or three plays broken open by your receiving core, like Dalton basically does nothing but deliver the ball.
CD grabs a slant 7 yards down the field
and
breaks.
It's gone. Kind of like, you know, or not necessarily like what you saw the Cardinals do last week, but somebody got really open.
Or they might need a
easy
trick play.
Throw. Boy, that's not a bad call. But you cannot give up 20-plus to Washington. They will. But it will be a new low for the offense or for the defense because this is about as bad as you're going to get for an opposing offense. They don't have any idea what they're doing at quarterback.
The weird thing is, even if you win this game, you shouldn't feel good.
No, but I will.
Because it is such a bad team.
And I saw last night, too.
And so, that's your division.
Right. I saw
that it takes Philly
3.5 quarters of horrible football. And if I can get one this week, I'm on my way to – I'm undefeated in the division, right?
You need to win every division game. Because the evidence that's in so far says you might not win anything outside the division. Who's our – oh, Cincinnati? Although I'm not going to pencil that in as a W for sure.
I'm going to go this far. I'm not penciling in as a W any game outside the division for the rest of the season. And I'm not saying I'm penciling in the division ones. I'm just looking at all of those as winnable.
Pittsburgh at Minnesota. Maybe, right? Minnesota's been pretty bad.
Depends on if they've given up by then.
Yeah. But I don't.
At Baltimore.
Teams that have given up can beat another team that's given up.
At Cincinnati, San Francisco. So you're going to hope they could get it together for Minnesota and Cincinnati. And the other ones, you have zero. It would be a miracle if they beat
any
San Francisco, Baltimore, or Pittsburgh.
Barring catastrophic injury to one of those teams, yes, they will be.
They will be double-digit underdogs in every one of those games.
At least 10, for sure.
So what do we have now? Because we're on the Cowboys. 2 wins.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take every division win, that'd be 1, 2,
you get to 6,
3, 4, 5, and you have to split either Minnesota or Cincinnati. You could be an 8-win team.
You could, and you'd be hosting a playoff.
And that's right now the ceiling.
Oh,
which is also the roof.
The roof too. Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go.
They're gonna give up 35.
Everybody gets healthy against the Cowboys. But, you know,
homecoming game.
Division rivalry game, you never know. Crazy things happen. Okay, that's very depressing. The Cowboys preview. Noon on Sunday, and I think that means 9:30. What are you getting? Are you getting job for your Sunday morning show as far as doing one this weekend?
Yeah, no work in progress this weekend. Wow. You get Elf 7 to 9:30, and then
to 9:30,
Cowboys
and then
countdown to kickoff.
Hit that pregame show, and if you really care, which you do not, you will find out that Donovan will be the special guest on the pregame show.
And then Jubb joins us for post.
That's right.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.